great to have all you guys here this morning, those of you who are guests with us, those of you that are joining us online. Let me just say welcome. We're excited to have you. We've got a great crowd here this morning at this early hour. I'm looking forward to getting into God's Word this morning. We're going to be looking at two different passages of Scripture. I'm going to be reading them in the Message, but if you just want to be there, if you've got your life point outline, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, and a few verses prior to that leading up to verse 30, and then Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. So Mark 12 and Romans 12. And we're, of course, in this series, Steps to Life. We're thinking about the fall, of course, and this is just a time for us to recalibrate our lives. This is something that we do every year, and the reason that we do it is because it's a needed thing. We are, you know, over halfway through the year. There have been a lot of challenges that we have all faced, some difficulties maybe that you've gone through. It's easy to get lost in the weeds of life when we have difficulties and heartaches and hardships. And of course, you know, we're battling this crazy COVID thing, you know, and it comes and it goes and it's up and it's down and it's sideways and it's just everywhere. And now we've got the, the D virus thing. And so, you know, it just like it doesn't end. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to kind of address, let's talk about the elephant in the room, because those of you that are listening online, I know that there are some of you that are online this morning simply because you could not be here. There are others that maybe still battle with fear or whatever of being in a larger crowd, and so you're home. But then there are also others that maybe you're home this morning, and it's because it's just easier. It's just easier. And I get it. I do. You know, the only one I have to get dressed on Sunday morning is Catherine, you know, kind of get her all put together and everything. And you know that's not true, but it got your attention. No, you know, it's just she and I and everything, but I get it. You know, getting up, getting ready, and doing all those things, and invariably something's going to happen, you know, that just slows you down. And the reality is that happens every day of the week, doesn't it? Even when you're getting ready to, you know, go to work or whatever. Life just keeps happening. And the reality is that all of us at certain times have what you might call just a bucket of water thrown in our face emotionally, spiritually, where we just feel like, you know, I'm just out of it. I'm exhausted. And then we realize also perhaps that we've not been doing some things that we should have been doing, simply because, as Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone where? Astray, right? I mean, it's just natural. I have to always autocorrect. And I think you're the same way. We're always tending to go one way or the other, and we have to come back and get on center point. So that's what I want to talk about, because if you'll notice in your life on outline, we're talking about reigniting your zeal for God. And I'm not talking about crazy, ridiculous. I'm just talking about determined. You're in it. You know, I'm all here. I'm all on board. I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to be found serving Him should He come today. And so that's what I want to talk about, reigniting our zeal for God. And so I want you to listen carefully. Pray for me that the Lord will use this for His purpose. God has given us so much here on the hill. Would you agree with that? Just so much that He has done. Those of you who've been tracking with me for years or several decades, you've seen the good hand of God in this place. You've seen the Lord and all the things He's done. Those of you, there are some of you that are still here that were here when Catherine and I came a few decades ago, and you know how the church was, you know where we were, you know what we had and what we didn't have, and you see where we are today. So you've seen the hand of God with us. And isn't it true that we know in our heart, God's not done yet? God's not through. We haven't heard the trumpet call. The Lord hasn't come. We're still here, so there's a work to do. So let me just ask you this. If you're thinking, maybe this morning, or you have recently prayed something like this, where you've just said, God, I don't know. There's something wrong. Something's just not right. Something is missing. Maybe you've asked, Lord, what am I not seeing that has me emotionally, spiritually, where I am? Is there something, God, that you are wanting to communicate to me? Or maybe you said this, God, why am I so miserable? Why am I miserable? Because I am. I'm just miserable. Why is it that there is conflict in my marriage? Why is there conflict seemingly everywhere that I turn? And it's like the common denominator is me. Why is that happening? Well, what I want you to know is today is about answering those kind of probing questions. And here's something that all of us should know is that I think the heart of what you and I can be experiencing and do experience from time to time, and it is this, it is lack of passion. Lack of passion. And what I'm talking about is a lack of passion for the Lord, because that is at the heart, it is at the bottom of a host of life issues, marriage struggles, difficulties between husbands and wives, work blahs, if you will, family breakdown, if that is happening inside the confines of your home, a lack of passion for the Lord. And so today's message is about that life experience and what I believe, what I'm discerning that the Father is saying to us. So I want this to be two things. I want it to be an encouragement to you, and at the same time, I want it to be an eye-opener, where on one hand, you may say, thank you, God, and on the other hand, you may say, Lord, help, and just help me to do what I need to do, right? All right, so let's just jump into this, because I've got a lot I want to say, and as you know, the clock is always my enemy. So if you look at number one this morning in your life point outline, I want you to understand the life-changing power of passion, the life-changing power of passion. One of the things you ought to understand is behind the creative force of all great art. I mean, the art that we really enjoy. I don't enjoy always going to an art museum. So let's go to an art museum. I'm like, yeah. It doesn't stir me. Now, granted, there are some pictures that just pull me in, and I love that. There's the, great music. I love that. I enjoy that. And architecture, somebody who is really able to write something that just stirs me and grabs me, that is great. Here's what I understand. At the bottom of all of that, that just kind of pulls you in and draws you in, what is it that does that about those different things? It is passion. It is passion. It comes across in everything that particular person does. And here's the truth in your outline I want you to see. Nothing great is ever accomplished in life without passion. And so if you want to have a great marriage, if you want to have a lot of success at the job that you are in, the key to that is not education. Not that that doesn't help. It certainly does. But you can be educated out the wazoo, and if you don't have passion, it's not going to do anything. You need passion in your life. It is an indispensable determiner of the quality of my life, and it determines the quality of my output. We will never know. You will never experience a great marriage without passion. You will never experience a fulfilling career without passion. You've got to be all in. If you're not all in the job you're in, get out and get somewhere that makes you want to bound out of bed in the morning, because passion energizes life. And the reality is, you will never achieve anything of worth or greatness. You will never make a lasting mark on the lives of people around you without passion. Here's the thing. I don't want to come to the end of however many years God is going to give me and look back and nobody is sad that I'm gone. I want people wailing at my funeral. God, you took him too soon. Yes. What does that mean? It means they're sad you're gone. Who wants to die? And everybody's like, oh, is he gone? Oh, well. You know, he wasn't that much when he was here anyway. Isn't that sad? All right? I mean, that's passion is what gives you a reason to get up in the morning. Passion in your heart says, I want to do something. I want to do something with my life. I want my life to count. I want my life, and as a child of God, you ought to want your life to count for eternity. Amen. That it means something. And you ought to want it to count today. That you're impacting somebody's life. And I know that I'm speaking to someone either here or watching online who doesn't look forward to tomorrow. You don't look forward to tomorrow. You didn't look forward to today. And I want you to look in your life point outline. Truth for you. Here's the truth for you if that's you. Without passion, life is boring and routine. It is boring and routine. And your greatest need, if you are a child of God, is the restoration of your passion to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him, and to give your life for Him. And that's what many listening online today and here, many of you, that is what you are dealing with. And understanding that, that's worth the price of admission this morning, right? That's why God's got you here. Now, let's look at Mark 12, verse 30. This is the first passage that I mentioned to you. There's this man who walks up to our Lord, and he says, Lord, what's the most important thing in the Holy Scriptures? I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit here. And Jesus said, the most important commandment in Holy Scripture is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God. He could have said with passion. But what he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That is passion, men and women. That's how we love God. Jesus said, that's what God is looking for. That is the pathway to blessing. That is the pathway to the joy in life. And Jesus said, nothing matters more to heaven than that you love your Creator with everything you have. Look at the inside your outline. Nothing else matters in life if you don't love the Lord God passionately. That's the spirit in which God gave us Colossians 3:23. Listen to Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, child of God, do it with all your heart. Then it's like, and if you don't understand what I mean by that, do it as you are doing it unto the Lord Himself and not unto men. So when you get up in the morning and you're getting ready to go to work, you're not just getting ready to go to work for the company that you work for. You're getting up to go to work for the Lord. That means that when you walk onto your job, everything that comes out of your mouth ought to reflect the fact that you realize I'm on the duty for the Lord. I'm on the job for God. I'm working for Him. And I'm going to be very careful what comes out of my mouth, how I treat people, how I think. All of that's very important. Why? Because God says, whatever you do, put everything you've got into it and do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. He said, you're serving me. When it comes to worship, when it comes to life groups, which is like Sunday school, but it's our ministry here. When it comes to the ministry that you've got in this world, how you're touching other people, Jesus said that it should be evident to everyone that your whole heart is in what you are doing. When our love for Jesus, beloved, wanes, I and you will do what's inevitable. We will walk in our flesh. And that's not pretty. Would you agree with that? It is not pretty. And what that means is when you're walking in your flesh, you will have problems at home. Because husband and wife can be walking in the flesh, or one's in the spirit and the other's in the flesh, and the flesh is just hard to deal with. It's like a child. It wants everything for itself. And so you'll have marriage struggles, you'll have struggles at work, you'll have life struggles. So here's the insight. If your life is filled with contention, that is the presence of the flesh nature, the old you before Christ. And what you've got to ask yourself is, have I been living passionately for the Lord? Or have I been wandering? And so I want you to listen to our next text, Romans 12, verse 11. Do not be slothful in your zeal, but be fervent in your spirit. Meaning, and in this way, serve the Lord. How does God want us to serve Him? Not slothful in our zeal, but fervent in our spirit. All right? That doesn't mean that you're just like a wildfire. It just means that what you do for Him, you're all in it. You're all in it. And you stay at it. You keep going. Why? Because it's for Him, right? It's for Him. Am I making contact this morning?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here's the truth. Zeal and fervor are not automatic. They are a choice, a discipline that you live by. What's that mean? It means I am not automatically passionate about God. It is a choice I make every day. Father, I want to serve You. I am going to focus on You. My life, I don't know about you, my life is bombarded every day with distractions and wet blanket circumstances of life. Life is always trying to put out my fire. Life is always trying to pull me down. That happens to me every day of my life. If it's not one thing, it's another. And that's why God warned me in Scripture. He said, John, I just want you to understand this. Listen to me. When you're going through hard times, it's not because God's mad at you. When you're going through difficulty, it's not because you've done something wrong. God has warned us in Scripture, Hebrews 10:36. You, my beloved, have need of endurance. Why? So that you can receive the reward. I want to get to glory, and I want to hear the Father say, well done. How about you? Huh? I want to hear Him say, well done. It doesn't mean I am perfect. What it does mean is I didn't quit. Huh? I am still in the race. Oh, I don't run it near as fast as I did when I first came here. I can tell you that right now. I don't run it as fast, but I'm still in it.
Amen.
I'm still in it. I'm in the race. Huh? Some of you gray hairs? Some of you less hairs? Are you still in the race? You see, that's what God's wanting to know. He says, you're not in a race against anybody else. But the question is, if as long as you're sucking in air and we haven't buried you beneath 6 feet of dirt, are you still in the race?
Yes.
Are you still there? He said, you understand, you will need endurance so that you can receive the reward. Because listen, you walk off the track and there's no reward for that. There's no reward for walking off the track. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. Why? Because that's the only way you can run it. The only way you run your race is with endurance. And you make a determination every day, I'm going to get up. And every day, I'm going to do what God has put me here to do. And am I tired? Yes. Am I quitting? No. Am I weary? Yes. Am I stopping? No. God did not say I had to do it laughing and acting silly, but God said, stay in the race. Why? Because the race I have put you on is a race that is chosen for you. Nobody can run your race. There are a lot of men who can stand behind this pulpit and be your shepherd. But they can't do what I can do while I'm still in my race. And all I want to know is, Father, always make me aware of the race that you have for me, and that I'm still on the track and I'm doing what you want me to do. And I haven't let the difficulties of life let me walk off the track and say, I just can't do it anymore. You see, my father told me, if you're going to finish your race, you're going to have to run it with what? Endurance. Huh? Now, you've got to ask yourself, why did God put that in the Word? Why did he do that? Because God wants us to know that's what it will take to finish why we're on this earth. That's what it will take for us to live a life all the way to the end that honors the Lord. The inside your outline, as time goes by, we can lose our enthusiasm for life because of passion killers. So let me land the plane. Number two, I've only got 2 points here, but there are so many. No, there's not a lot of points. The 2 points, the major passion killers of our life. What are the major passion killers? Let me just hit them as quickly as I can. Number one is an unbalanced life. Unbalanced life. If I am overworked or I'm underworked, I will lose passion for life and for God. How do you know that? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says this: to everything there is a season. Now, that's what God says. To everything, that is a season. What does God say? God is saying, all right, listen, people. Listen, my kids. He said, there is a rhythm to your life that I put into motion when I created you. There's a rhythm in my life, and there's a rhythm in your life. And here's what God is saying. There is a time, and this we're talking about unbalanced living. There is a time to give out, where I give out, and there's also a time where I need to be taking in. And if all you're doing is giving out, that's unbalanced. If all you're doing is taking in, that's also unbalanced. Okay? There's a time for both of those. There is a time to rest, and there is a time to what?
Work.
There's a time for both of those. And too much of either one will cause you to lose your passion for the Lord. So let me ask some of you who are going to seed on the work thing. There are some people that maybe I'm talking to, either listening online or here, or there's going to be in the next two services, the question I would ask you was, when is the last time that you took a whole Sabbath rest? When's the last time you took a Sabbath rest? Why did God order that there be a day of rest? Because God rested on the seventh day, didn't he? Not that he needed to. He just simply said, I want you to always remember the Sabbath. Why is it important for God's people to work 6 days and not work one day? Why is that important? Because it reminds you, I believe in the creation of the world by divine fiat, by the God who created my soul. I believe God created the heavens and the earth in 6 24-hour days.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And all of hell wants us to forget that. Amen. And what I'm telling you is, if you don't have a Sabbath day where you don't labor, a day of rest, then you've got to ask yourself, when is it that God failed to do in my life so that I no longer trust him? God says, I want you to trust me that if you have my blessing, you can work 6 days and get everything you need and give me the seventh day to honor me. Just a thought. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing that you're going to starve to death. For God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. Somebody said, where's that written? Psalm 127, verse 2. You put that on the refrigerator door and read that every day. Here's the truth. Some of you are always giving out to this cause and that need, always helping, always sharing, always serving, always working. And that's great. The problem is you are sinning against God and against yourself if you never take time, God says, to pull back, disengage, and recharge. Everybody has to have a time where you simply don't do work anymore. You got to refresh yourself. And a failure to recharge means that your life is unbalanced. And eventually, what happens is, and this is what's happened in the church, you get compassion fatigue. And what I mean by that is, we can talk about, we've got needs. We've got somebody, we need somebody to help us do children's ministry, whatever. And you're thinking, dude, seriously? I ain't got anything left. I am tapped out. Well, why? Why do you not have anything left for the Lord? Something's not right if you don't have any time left for the things of the Lord. It's called compassion fatigue, and it's because you've been sinning against yourself and against the Lord. You get to the place because you're always so busy that you stop caring. And it's not that you don't care anymore. But what I mean when I say you don't care is you don't have the capacity for anything else. You are tapped out. You want to help. You want that, but you can't pull out anything else from within inside of you. You can't meet anybody else's expectations. You can't. I can't take any more. I'm sorry. I know there is a need, but I don't have emotional room for anything else. What is that? That's compassion fatigue. You don't have emotional room for hardly anything, but you have a crying need for self-medication. You just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So here, why? It's because you're burning out from too much work, too much service. When you work and work and work and care and care and care and you don't retreat and you don't rest once every 7 days and once a year for 2 weeks or whatever, that you're going to get compassion fatigue and you're going to drop out. You got to do that. But there's a flip side to that. And the flip side is that you can have so much input you're taking in and you're not getting enough output. So there's a flip side of that. And here's the truth you outline. Bible study without ministry is spiritually dangerous. All, you're just sitting and soaking. James 2:17, to him who knows to do good and does it not, it is sin. Understand, the more you know about God's plan for your life, the more accountable we are to the Father for what we know. To know truth and to not act on it increases judgment. And there are some listening this morning, maybe here, maybe online, and you are in a continual take-in mode. You're always taking in. You have got to start getting out. You need to be wrung out. Why? You remember what I talk about when you take a sponge, ladies, and you put it on your sink, and it sit and soaks and sit and soaks and sit and soaks. It's going to what eventually? It's going to sour. And that's a problem with a lot of believers. They're sour. Why? They need to be wrung out. I need you in children's ministry. I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, you can do it. You can. You're not dumb. You're not stupid. You can be taught. And you can help some children get to know the Lord better. You need to be wrung out. Listen, many of us have known the Lord for decades. And we've listened to sermons and we've been in Bible studies. We have taken in and taken in and taken in. You need to give out. There needs to be a D group in your life. What does that mean? It means that you get with three or four others. And you sit down with them. And you open up God's Word. In fact, we've got books that you can take. And you can lead two or three. If you're a woman, you lead two or three women. If you're a guy, you lead two or three men. Who are not as far along as you are. And we've got books that will take you to the major chapters of the Bible. Stuff you already know about. You already know. And you sit there with them. And you go through 5 days at a time. You do that study. And you ask yourself, what does this reveal about God to me? You write that down. What, explain this text. In other words, what's it saying? Apply it. How does this apply to your life? And then what's my devotion? What am I going to do in light of that? R-E-A-D, read. You know what you're going to do? You're going to sit down with some people, three people, who are not as far along as you are, and you're going to say, all right, I want you to go through that. I want you to tell me, what did you find? And that's what you do. What are you doing? You're helping them get in the Word. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to make disciples. What are you trying to do? I am trying to get three men in my life right now. I'm trying to get three men to focus on Christ. I'm seeking to get three men to love Jesus with all their heart. I don't want them thinking I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's all about Brother John. No, it's not. It's about Jesus, isn't it? It's about him. I want them to fall in love with him. How do I do that? I just get them in the Word. And they've already made a commitment. I'll meet with you, Brother John, once a week for an hour, hour and a half. And we'll go through this. We're going to do it for at least a year, maybe a year and a half. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to tell them, all right, it's time for you to get out. It's time for you to leave. Well, what do you want us to do? I want each of you to get three men, and I want you to start doing with them what I did with you. You say, well, what if we don't know the answer? Then come talk to me, and I'll help you. But I'm not going to make you an emotional cripple on me. I want you to be dependent on Christ, right? That's what it means to be a disciple. Those 12 men fell in love with the Lord. And that's what we want to do. You need input. You need Bible study. But you also need output. You need ministry to others. In a word, you need balance. And so 1 Timothy 4:7 says, take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Well, we talk about five purposes here on the hill. I've got it in your notes. Let me give that to you right quick. All right, this is what we focus on here on the hill. Number one is the worship of God. These are the five purposes of my life. These are unchangeables. Number one is the worship of God. You need to worship God in a corporate setting and in a private setting. We worship corporately every Sunday morning. All right? This is not optional. It's not optional. Once every 7 days, we're to remember that He is God and we aren't. And I need Him. And I put myself out. I'm so tired. Well, bless. Bless. You're tired. Well, well. Get up and worship Him. Amen? Why? Because He's worth it. Oh, I chased them too many rabbits. You worship God in both a corporate setting, like on Sunday morning, and in private daily quiet times. Number two, fellowship with other believers. You need that. In our church family, we call that life groups, and they meet every week. What is that? That is 8 to 10 to 12 people that you do life with. In other words, that means no matter how big Harmony Hill gets, if we're running 3,000 on Sunday morning, there are 8 to 10 to 12 people you know on a first name basis. And that's all. You're never going to get to know 100, 150 people. There's no way you're going to be knowing that many people. And it doesn't matter. You just enjoy a big crowd. We can do a lot of things for kids. We've got money to do a lot of things. We can touch and impact the world for Christ. And that's great to be a part of that. But the most important thing is there's 8 to 10 to 12 people who know you on a first name basis. And if you get sick or in the hospital, they're going to come and see you. And they're going to take care of you. Why? Because you're friends and your brother and sister in Christ. So fellowship with other believers. Number three, reading God's word every day. We do that in private study, and we do that as a group. Every January as a church, we embrace the challenge of reading God's word through in the year. We give out, we sell a reduced rate through the Bible in a year Bibles. You read the Bible through. We're all doing it. Number four is ministry to others. That's when we're giving out and using our abilities to help and encourage other people to follow the Lord. And number five is mission, where we are sharing our faith with those outside the family of God. And so the question would be, who at work are you praying for? Who are you praying for that they'll be saved? Or that you'll God will open a door for you to be able to speak to them. So here's the insight. You can go to seed on any of these and get unbalanced and lose your passion. All are needed, though, for balance and growth. Just remember that. So we're seeking a balance, an unbalanced life. All right, let me move a little bit quicker here and because of time. The second thing that will hurt you in your walk with Christ is an unused talent. And I've kind of touched on that, but 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, God has given each of you special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. So to every one of us who belong to the Lord, when we come to faith in the Lord, when we're born again, the Holy Spirit who comes to live inside of us and connects us to Jesus Christ, that's called a baptism in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean you're speaking in tongues or anything like that. It just means by the Holy Spirit, you are baptized, you're connected to Jesus Christ. He lives in you, and you are connected to the Father and to the Lord. All right, so when the Holy Spirit comes in you, He gives you talents and abilities. He gives you a personality. He gives you gifts, and they are not for your benefit. They're to help others to get to know the Lord. So here's the insight. God has given you a special role in this world, and He wants you to make a contribution with your life. And that's why you need a ministry in our church, to use the talents that you're not using right now. And you may be in a job that you don't enjoy. There are so many people who are. They're in a job, and it is just a job. Did you know that some studies have shown that 70% of all Americans are in a job that doesn't use their talents? 70%. You know what that means? That means that if they're using only 30% of their talent at their job, they've got a 70% boredom factor at their work. No wonder they hate getting up every day. So you need to get in a job that uses your talents so that you can contribute. So here's the truth in your outline. You need a job to make a living, but you need a ministry to make a life, and that fulfills you. And that's why we want you in a ministry here on the Hill. And so we offer, and I want you to listen, we offer Life Ministry 301. My wife, Catherine, teaches that. And you can sign up for that, but you have to go through two other classes beforehand. But in Ministry 301, you'll learn how God has shaped you for ministry and the personality that He's given you. But before you can take that, you need to have gone through Life Membership 101. And Pastor Todd or I teach that. Pastor Todd's going to be teaching it 2 weeks from today. All right, on the 22nd, we're going to have our membership class. It'll be during this time. And so we'll be talking about that. You can sign up for that. And then there's Life Maturity 201. So 101 is membership. 201 is maturity. And that's learning how to grow in the Lord. How do I develop in the Lord? How do I develop spiritually as a Christian? And Michael Reeder on our staff teaches that. And you can sign up for that, but you got to take 101 first, then 201, then 301. You all go in order. So two major passion killers, an unbalanced life and an unused talent. Number three is an unconfessed sin. Here's the truth. Few things will rob us of joy and passion quicker than guilt. And you can rationalize it away. You know, everybody's doing it. It's not really that bad. But here's the insight. Regardless of our rationalization of sin, our conscience eats at us because it's from God. Now here's why unconfessed sin is such a big deal. I can't feel passion and guilt at the same time. I can't get passionate if I've got guilt. Psalm 38:4. My guilt has overwhelmed me. I am bowed down and I am brought low. So what does God want us to do? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, God can be trusted to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I agree with you. This in my life is wrong. This should not be in my life. I agree with you. I want to begin to live the kind of way that you want me to live. Father, I ask you to cleanse me of guilt and fill me, refill me with the Holy Spirit of God and restore the passion in my life to serve you. And then there's one last thing, number four, and that's an unsupported lifestyle. Unsupported lifestyle. One of the most common reasons for the loss of passion is this. You spend little to no time around people, other people who have a passion for God. That's why we talk about life groups. The truth in your outline, a prolonged absence of fellowship with believers will drain your passion for God. Now listen, in these COVID days, I think this has been an anathema to the work of the Lord. And this is where you and I, as God's people, have got to remember what's important before our Father in heaven. But a prolonged absence of fellowship with believers will drain your passion. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and doesn't have someone else to lift him up. If you've been here very long, you've heard me say, you've got to be in a life group on the hill or you will quit. Why? Because we need each other. Every one of us falls sometimes. We stumble. And so we all need people to help us up in our lives. And here's the truth. You must be in a life group or a small group before the next crisis comes, and it is coming. There will be a crisis. And we want you in a life group who will be there for you. We've got church members this morning that are in the hospital. Do you know how I know that they're in the hospital? Their life group told us. Huh? That's how I found out. Their life group told us. Their life group's on it. We're staying in touch with them. You know, of course, they can't visit now, but they're in touch with them. They're communicating with them. They'll take food over or whatever. They are doing that. That's automatically taken care of. Why? Because they are in a life group. And because a crisis will come and maybe already is in your life. And the life group is that support system. And so here's what I want you to understand. In the years that God's had me in church ministry, I have seen people walk for years in passion for the Lord. And then I've seen something happen and they walk away. Now I'm going to close with this, but I want you to hear me on this. Here's the pattern that I have seen. And this is what troubles me with regards to the effect of COVID and all that on us. Because COVID caused us to retreat. We all went into our homes. And what happened was we got cold spiritually. Not everybody, but it's happening. And here's what I want you to understand. Here's the pattern. Number one, people will stop coming to worship. They draw back from being around other believers. There's a reason they tell themselves, well, it's COVID, I don't need to be there. Or, you know, it's summertime, I'll watch it on the internet, we've got other things to do, I'll get back to it. For whatever reason, they stop being around people who have a desire for the passion, who have a passion for God. Now, when that happens, when you withdraw, number two's coming. Number two is this, your heart starts to turn cold. Every time. How often does it happen? Every time. It is inevitable. You will begin to feel far from God. Here's the insight. All of us have a need to be around other people who have a passion for God. Why? Because nobody can stay passionate for God without contact with other believers. You have got to have that. It is inevitable. If you pull out of God's Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. If you pull out from that, if you disobey God in that, it is inevitable your heart will grow cold. It will happen. It will happen to you. And so I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Those of you that are at home, I want you to just listen carefully wherever you are. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You know, the resurgence that's taking place and all that, and you can get mad, you can get depressed or whatever. Or you can do what I want to urge you to do as your shepherd. I want you to determine you will not let this affect your walk with the Lord. I will not do it. And so the wisdom here, and this is in your notes, in COVID periods, an unsupported lifestyle is the greatest threat to a spiritual life. We need each other. So what do I want to ask you to do? Number one, in your heart this morning, I want you to just say to the Father, Lord, I commit to keep my life group going. We will, by your grace, come hell or high water, whatever happens health-wise nationally, we will either meet in person or we will meet virtually, but we will not stop. We will not. Why? Because you have commanded us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We will do that. And then number two, if you're not already, I want you to commit to get into a life group now. I want you in a life group as your shepherd. And I don't want you to say, I'll do that pretty soon. I want you to do it today. How do you do that? I want you to take, look at me for just a moment. I want you to take that Connect card that's in the chair in front of you. I want you to print your name on it and how to be contacted, a cell phone number or mailing address or whatever. And I want you to go across this mall. I want you to go against traffic, maybe. I want you to go across the mall and go to the Next Step desk, and I want you to turn it in. Sarah, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I want you to stand. You see this pretty woman right here? I want you, she's going to be back there at that desk. When you see Sarah, you got the Next Step desk. And I want you to take your card, and I want you to turn it into her. Because you want to be in a life group. And she's going to help get you connected. We'll do everything we can to make sure you get in a group. That you don't have an unsupported lifestyle. Don't do life alone. You will not survive spiritually. All right, let's stand together before the Lord. Now listen. We have a need. And I've shared that with you. We have a need for helpers and workers in children's ministry. We will not hire people to teach Bible to our kids. That is our responsibility. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's what we do. And so we've got some positions open. I need them filled today. Not a lot of praying has to be done about this. I'm not asking you that you're over there every Sunday, 52 weeks out of the year. There'll be other people that will be some rotation. But we need your help. And so go by, if you don't have a place of ministry or service, go by and look at that. Look at that table. Let them help you and help us with this great need. Thank you for being faithful in your giving. Thank you for listening this morning and letting me share my heart. And I pray this has stirred you, that you're going to want to live a passionate life for the Lord. It doesn't mean frenzy. It just means I'm going to serve Him every day, week in and week out. And I'm going to do what God's put me here to do. So, Father, thank you this morning for the word. Thank you for, God, for just opening up our heart, helping us to see things that you want us to see. Thank you for every one of these positions being filled in children's ministry. There are some kids who are going to reach the world for Jesus Christ in the decades to come. And Lord, we need men and women who will be able to stand before you and hear you say, well done. You are the one who taught and trained them. And it's because of you that all these souls have been saved through the ministry of this child that you served. And so thank you, Father, for that and for giving us a place of ministry and service. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.